السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون وقال تعالى ولقد نعلم أنك يضيق صدرك بما يقولون فسبح بحمد ربك وكن من الساجدين واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين وقال تعالى إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون وقال تعالى بلى من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن فله أجره عند ربه ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون وقال تعالى إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يصيب المسلم من نصب ولا وصب ولا هم ولا حزن حتى الشوكة يشاكها إلا كانت كفارة لخطاياه أو كما قال عليه السلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ما قال ربنا وخالقنا ورازقنا من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد جہاں میں ہیں عبرت کے ہر سو نمونے مگر تجھ کو اندھا کیا رنگ و بو نے کبھی غور سے بھی یہ دیکھا ہے تو نے جو آباد تھے وہ محل اب ہیں سونے جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے جہاں میں کہیں شور ماتم بپا ہے کہیں فقر و فاقہ سے آہو بکا ہے کہیں شکوے جور و مکر و دغا ہے غرض ہر طرف سے یہی بس صدا ہے جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے تجھے پہلے بچپن نے برسوں کھلایا جوانی نے پھر تجھ کو مجنوں بنایا بڑھاپے نے پھر آگے کیا کیا ستایا اجل یعنی موت اجل تیرا کر دے گی بالکل صفایا جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے یہ دنیا فانی ہے محبوب تجھ کو ہوئی واہ کیا چیز یہ دنیا فانی ہے محبوب تجھ کو ہوئی واہ کیا چیز مرغوب تجھ کو نہیں عقل اتنی بھی مجذوب تجھ کو سمجھ لینا اب چاہے یہ خوب تجھ کو جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے خدا نے بنائی ہے دنیا نرالی فنا اور بقا پر ہے بنیاد ڈالی کوئی آ رہا ہے کوئی جا رہا ہے کوئی سو رہا ہے کوئی جاگ رہا ہے کہیں پر ہے شادی کہیں پر ہے جنازہ کہیں پر ہے شادمانی یہ دنیا کا حال ہے ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز برادرز فرینڈز لیڈیز Today's talk is about don't be sad, Allah is with us. This is an ayat, part of an ayat of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so happy with his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is quoting his phrase in the Quran to be recited until the day of Qiyamah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at huge risk, his life was at risk. He could have been murdered at that time. He was in Ghare Thawr, and the mushrikeen had followed the footsteps, climbed the mountain, reached the cave. And they were inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq are both inside. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq hears the footsteps and he is terrified. And he is shocked. He's not worried for himself. He's worried for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are coming with weapons and everything and they're going to kill him. I can give my life, but I don't want anything to happen to him. And he's saying, Ya Rasulullah, they are here. Ya Rasulullah, they are here. If one of them just looks down, he will see us inside the cave. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is as cool as a cucumber. He's calm. He's saying, La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Don't grieve, don't be sad, Allah is with us. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. In that pitiful state where he's staring at death on the face, he could be killed. He's saying, don't worry, Allah is with us. Don't be sad, Allah is with us. La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Allah quoted it. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the only Sahabi to be declared a Sahabi in the Quran. Because Allah said, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ Now if someone calls Abu Bakr Siddiq a kafir today, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Then is Allah wrong to call him a Sahabi? إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ How can some people call him نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ kafir? May Allah give them hidayat. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْسَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا Now, when he said, لَا تَحْسَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا What did Allah do? Allah said, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Allah sent down Sakina on his heart. Sukoon, peace, tranquility, peace of mind. Because he relied upon Allah. He trusted Allah. He said, Allah is with us, Allah will take care of us. Because of this attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah sent down Sakina on his heart. Sakina, special peace, sukoon, tranquility. And وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا Allah helped him with armies which you have not seen. One of them, tafsir could be malaika. Angels came and diverted their attention elsewhere. And also number two, the pigeon who made the nest and the spider who weaved a net around the entrance. So when they climbed up there and they saw that there is whole spider web and there is pigeon's nest and there are eggs inside and pigeon is sat on there hatching. So they thought, oh, this spider web and this pigeon's nest should have been here since before the birth of Muhammad. If they would have gone inside, then it would have been broken. They can't be in there. Then they said to the Qaif, who was a specialist in following footsteps. Where do these footsteps go now? I don't know. Some helicopter came and took them away. I don't know. There wasn't a helicopter in those days. Now, this is where the trail ends. They could have gone in the sky or flew away somewhere. I don't know. But this is where the trail ends. So they came back down. And they were really enraged. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of that imminent risk saved him. Allah is saying to us, whenever you feel at risk, remember the saying of my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Don't be sad, Allah is with us. Now, sadness. Why does a person become sad? Let's look at it in today's terms. Canadians, GTA, why do you become sad? A young boy fails his exams, he's sad. A child wants toys, his father said, nope, you're not having it. He wants a mobile phone, Samsung Galaxy Note, mobile iPhone 7, latest gadgets. Father says, no. Even though his father's a millionaire, he thinks my father is stingy, he's miserly, and he's being awkward with me. He's not letting me have what I want. But his father knows better than him. So he's saying, no, you can't have it. And we should have limits. Shouldn't give everything to this to our kids. I was reading this report of a psychologist, and they were saying that, you know, we should let some sadness come upon our kids to teach them the reality of lives. If we give them everything they would want, they'll never learn. So sometimes you should put them in isolation, leave them in their room, and let them cry a little bit, let them feel sad a little bit, so they can realize that I can't have everything in life. There will be times in my life when I won't have everything my way. Things will go other way as well. So a little bit of sadness is good for the kids. So a child gets sad because he's not getting what he wants. He gets into tantrums and cries and screams and pesters the parents. And then a teenager gets sad for some reason. Maybe failed in exams, or na'uz billah summa na'uz billah, falls in love, and then the other person deserts him or her, and then crying and then dreaming all night and staying awake, cause for sadness. Grown-ups get sad because, let's say, losing job, business failure, some other reasons, death in the family. So there are various reasons of sadness within the society. Now, we need to first of all sit down, contemplate, think. Number one, that if I grieve and remain sad over my pitiful state, it's not going to bring that lost thing back to me. If I failed my exams and I am sad all the time, it's not going to make me pass. If I lose my job, I'm sad all the time, I'm not going to get the job back. If my business has failed and I'm sad all the time, I'm not going to make profits from nowhere. So sadness is not going to retrieve that lost thing. So what's the point of being sad? I should, you know, remain in my condition, be content. What was to happen has happened. Life goes on, move on. If someone has died in the family, okay, they have died. You cry for a few days, you grieve, and then you forget and move on. You do isale sabab for them, that's it. But you don't just keep crying all the time for weeks and months and years and showing grief. This will lead to depression, na'uzubillah. Sadness, extreme sadness and grief leads to depression. And sometimes depression leads to suicide. So you have to control that sadness from the initial stage. So you don't get into depression or na'uzubillah into suicide. So sadness should be controlled right from the beginning. The kids should be taught to be sad sometimes and stay alone for a few hours. Cry if you want to, no problem. But you have to learn the realities of life. The young teenager has to feel that sadness. So he can understand that I'm not going to pass every exam with full marks. There will be some failures as well. Also in business as well, no problem. I failed in this business, I'll try something else and something else. Inshallah, Allah Pak hat pakad lenge, kahin na kahin kuch ho jayega. I lose one job, no problem. Allah will give another job. So there are ways of combating that sadness, and we have to understand those ways and control ourselves. So we now understand some of the reasons why people become sad. And now we want to understand how to cure ourselves from those sadnesses. You go on the internet and just type in Google cures for sadness. You will get a list of things. And do this, do this, do this, do this. Try them out and maybe they will work for you. Looking from an Islamic perspective, how can we cure our sadness, our grief? We can do three things. Al-Iman al-Amiq, Al-Ittisal al-Wathiq, Al-Fahm al-Daqiq. Al-Iman al-Amiq, deep, strong faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pukhta yaqeen, yaqeen muhkam, amal payham, pukhta yaqeen. And Al-Ittisal al-Wathiq, strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-fahm al-daqiq, deep understanding of the reality. If we get these three things, we can combat any sadness, any grief, and get over it. First of all, al-iman al-amiq. We have to have iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all believe in Allah. We all believe in taqdeer. What do we say? Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadari khairihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'thi ba'dal maut. I believe in Allah. So our iman in Allah should be firm, strong. It should be unshakable, unmovable. It should be stronger than the Himalaya mountains. Anybody tries to shake us and say something bad about Allah, is God there? Then why did He do this to you? Why did this calamity fall on you? Some women start saying, oh, always problems upon problems on me. Why always problem in my house? Why always my child dying? Why am I always getting miscarriage? Why am I not finding a suitable partner? Why is there something wrong with me? Why am I losing my job? Why am I always failing my tests and exams and I'm not getting my degree? Why me? Why me? So this why me, it's removing your iman from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So strengthen your iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Billahi wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wal yawmin akhir. Last final day. And wal qadari khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. Taqdeer, destiny, fate. Whether I feel good or whether I feel bad is irrelevant. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I have to do my duty and then trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called tawakkul, reliance, trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to have this iman, strong iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, when we have this strong iman, even in problems, we will feel relaxed and we will feel pleasure in there. I'm telling you, we were talking this morning about rida. There is a hadith in Sahih Muslim in which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. That person will taste the sweetness of iman who is pleased with Allah as his Rabb, and Islam as his deen, and Muhammad as his Rasul and Nabi. Do we have that pleasure? Do we feel that pleasure in our hearts? Alhamdulillah, I am pleased to have Allah as my Rabb. Do we feel that pleasure? If we don't, then we are lacking on something. This is one of the reasons why we get so sad and we grieve so much and we fall into depression. We should be happy as Allah is our Rabb. No matter what happens, Allah is there, He's taking full care of everything. Do you not see the condition of Muslims around the world? You go in Palestine, Syria, and what's happening to them? And Allahu Akbar, we see their iman is so strong, they give us tasalli. Don't worry about us, we're okay. Planes are flying over them, and they are there casually joking, talking, going to masjid, coming out of masjid, praying their namaz, going about their daily stuff. They know, they realize that whatever is going to happen is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are pleased with Allah as their Rabb. They are taking, Allah is taking care of everything. When you have this rida of with Allah, you are razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Rabb. You will feel that pleasure in your heart. Man radhiya billahi rabban. Rida billah is, one is aam and one is khas. Aam rida, general principle of being happy with Allah, is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah exists and that Allah is one. And Allah is the creator and sustainer of the whole universe. He is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. This is general rida with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which every Muslim should have. And there is rida al-khas. Khas, special rida with Allah. And this is what Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi alayha was asked. Okay, what is the reality of rida? What does being happy with Allah mean? And she replied, إِذَا سَرَّتْهُ الْمُصِيبَةُ كَمَا سَرَّتْهُ النِّعْمَةُ. When musibat pleases a person, just like ni'mat pleases him. Do you get it? When you get ni'mat, let's say you pass your degree, you get a huge business profit, or you get a good job, and you are happy, rejoicing, telling everyone, you are pleased with that ni'mat. So if some musibat comes upon you, you feel that same happiness upon that musibat, then that means you are razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rida of the Sufiya kiram, the mashayikh-i izam. They always, they were pleased with Allah, content and happy with Allah, no matter what happens. This is radhiya billahi rabban. To be razi with Allah as your Rabb. To get that higher stage where you are pleased with Allah at all times. Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi narrates the incidents of Hazrat Sha'wana al-Majzuba rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha. There was so much talk about her piety and asceticism and devotion and worship. One of the mashayikh heard about her. He wanted to go and see her, learn from her. And he was informed that she is in so-and-so area with those people who come for farming and harvest and working in the fields. She is there working with them. He went and he saw that she is busy in her munajat and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He stood there. When she finished her munajat conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intimacy, private conversation with Allah, du'as, she turned around, took his name, and said, "Oh, Abu Ibrahim, why have you come here? This is not the time to meet. Meeting will be in Jannat, inshallah, if Allah wills." So she said, "How do you know my name?" He asked, "How do you know my name?" And she replied, "Do you not know that the souls in Alami Arwah were together? Those who recognize one another over there recognize one another over here as well. Allah puts into the heart." And then he said, "Give me some nasihat." She gave some beautiful advice, nasihat. And he came back with those nasihat. After a short while, there were clouds, storm, and rain, and all the harvest was destroyed. So he thought, "Oh no, let me go and see what is Sha'wana's condition now." Because her whole hard work of 6 months, all that harvest and all that farming was now washed away in the rainwater, in the tufan and the saylab and the floods, everything is gone, destroyed. So he went to see, and she was again there standing and pleading to Allah. When she saw him, she said, "Oh, Abu Ibrahim, do you not see, you know, how ajeeb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he loves us. He's been giving us this farming ability, seeds, harvesting for many, many years. We've been making so many profits and alhamdulillah, thanking him. Now this year, once in a while, he sent this storm. First of all, he gave us the ability, he gave us the seed, we did the farming, cultivating, harvesting was about to be done. And now he sends the rainwater, he destroys everything. How ajeeb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have no complaints of Allah, I am happy with him. If he wants it this way, then let it be this way. I have no complaints with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the condition in which he wants to keep me. So this is, she was an arifah billah. She knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She recognized Allah. And when you bring this, said, when Allah tests you in this manner, and in that musibat, you increase your attention and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends that sakina on your heart. Allah replaces that musibat and problem with something which is much more greater than that. Not in terms of worldly pleasures, but in terms of akhirat. And hereafter, darajat and ranks are raised in Jannat. And the gift of Jannat is better than the gift of this dunya. So, Rida Billah, this is Man Raziya Billahi Rabban. This is what we need today. That to get rid of our impatience, and our besabri, and our grief, and our sadness. We need to be happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to ponder over this hadith. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّنْ. We need this al-imanul amiq and strong iman, firm iman and faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this firm iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be gained with al-ittisalul wasiq. Strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strong connection. Strengthen your connection, your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How will that happen? Through worship. Through zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadat. Do you not see when a person stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying Allahu Akbar. Why do we have to say Allahu Akbar? Why do we have to raise our hands? What is the wisdom behind raising our hands and saying Allahu Akbar? Many wisdoms, one of them is that when we raise our hands, we are throwing the whole world behind our backs and bringing Allah into our hearts. And we are saying Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. All my problems are insignificant now. Allah is greater than all my problems. Allah is greater than all my sadness. Allah is greater than all my grief. I need not worry. Allah is there for me. Your connection starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you read Surah Fatiha, what does the hadith of Sahih Muslim say? When a person recites, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. When he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah replies, Athna alayya abdi, my slave has glorified me. When he says, Maliki Yawmiddin, master of the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani abdi, he has mentioned my greatness. When he says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, only you do we worship and from only you do we seek help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. That this ayat is for me and for my slave. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. He is telling me that my Rabb, we only worship you. This is for me. And وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is for him. He is saying we only need your help. We don't need anybody else's help. So this is for him. So this ayat is half for me and half for him. And then, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. Guide us along the straight path, the path of those whom you favored, not of those upon whom your wrath fell, nor of those who went astray. So Allah says, this is for my slave, he's asking, I will give him what he wants. Ponder over the meaning of Surah Fatiha. When you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all your sadness will be removed. Because you are strengthening that bond between yourself and your Creator. We need to strengthen this connection of the heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will be attained through number two, Zikrullah. Zikrullah. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Lo, it is with the zikr of Allah do the hearts find tranquility and peace. You can't find peace and tranquility anywhere else except in zikrullah. The more you remember Allah, the more peace will come into your heart. Look at the condition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know, O Muhammad, that whatever remarks they make regarding you, they hurt you. They hurt your feelings. They call you a magician. They call you a liar. They call you a kazzab. They call you a muftari. They call you a shai. They call you a kahin. They call you a sorcerer. They give you all these bad nicknames. They hurt you. They throw dirt on you. Sometimes they spit on you. Sometimes they put thorn in your ways. Sometimes they've tried to strangle you. We know all this. You are going through all this sufferings. And he went through the hardest suffering in the whole world. He said in one hadith, لَقَدْ أُخِفْتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُخَافُ أَحَدٌ وَلَقَدْ أُذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُوذَى أَحَدٌ وَلَقَدْ أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ مَا بَيْنَ 30 يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ وَمَا لِي وَلِبِلَالٍ شَيْءٌ يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ إِلَّا مَا يُوَارِيهِ إِبْطُ بِلَالٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. I have been threatened for the sake of Allah. No one has been threatened like that. I have been hurt and abused in the path of Allah. No one has been abused in that manner. He suffered regular daily abuse for 13 years from the mushrikeen of Makkah. He went through all that thick and thin. Look at his life. Study his life. He is born as a yatim. His father dies 2 months before he is born. He comes into this dunya. His mother dies when he is 6. His grandfather dies when he is 8. There's no one to look after him. His uncle Abu Talib takes care of him. But he is strong. He is firm. And throughout his life, he goes through many deaths. He has to suffer. His four sons died during his life. Al-Qasim, Abdullah, Tayyib, Tahir. Ibrahim dies in his front of him as well. And among his four daughters, three of them died during his lifetime. Zainab, Ruqayya, Umme Kulsoom. Only Fatima was his survivor at the time of his death. So all his family die in front of him. But he is strong and he is moving forward. And he is not getting stuck and grieving over what has happened. Moving on. And look at his life in Makkah Mukarrama. His Sahaba are tortured. Sometimes Sahaba come and complain as well. Ya Rasulullah, we've been hurt badly. Please make dua. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calms them down. He says, take it easy. You know, these halat and these conditions have come on people before you as well. For the deen, you have to make sacrifice. And then he mentioned the sacrifices. There have been instances in the past in history where believers in God, in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were tortured to the extent that they were brought, put in a ditch, and a saw was brought and put in the head, and they were chopped into two pieces. This did not stop them from their deen. They persevered, they were patient, they took it on the chin, but they did not turn away from their religion. There were people for whom metal combs were brought and pierced into their bodies, and their flesh was taken out while they are alive. They were mutilated. Their body was chopped into pieces. This did not stop them from their deen. And he said, inshallah, that day will come when this deen, this religion will spread. And there will be so peace in this Arabian Peninsula that a person will travel from down south Hadramaut until the top in Sana'a to Dimashq. And throughout this whole journey, he will not fear anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That day came when whole Arabian Peninsula was spread in them, and there was so much aman and itminan and security throughout the whole area. There were no dakus, no bandits, no highway robbers, no thieves, no burglars, no one to fear anyone, and there was peace and aman throughout the whole area. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a lot. Sahaba went through a lot. Bilal Habshi radiallahu anhu, Ahad, Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu. Metal rods were heated in the fire, and then the body at the back was branded, and his body became like a kebab. There were lines on his back like a kebab. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once saw that. He used to hide it under his sheet. Once his sheet fell, Hazrat Umar saw it. Oh, Khabbab, what is this? And he said that this is what used to happen to us. So they went through all that torture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know you are going through all this. What is your duty? What should you do? Should you curse them? Allah ki lanat jaye un par. Yes, no, don't curse anyone. Allah said, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Do tasbih of Allah. Glorify Allah. فَسَبِّحْ and بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ and be from those who put their forehead on the ground in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go in sajda, the closest a person can be to his Rabb is when he or she is in sajda. When you're in sajda, that's the closest you can get to your Rabb. You whisper into your sajda, your Lord is hearing you. Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. You are so close to your Rabb. You are talking to him directly. Why does your mind drift away here and there? Why don't you stay focused on your salah? This is what will bring that sakina, that peace, that tranquility, and get rid of that grief and that sadness and that tension and that depression. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Remember the benefits of zikr. One of the most beautiful benefits of zikr is mentioned in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, أَنَا جَلِيسُ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي. I am sitting with that person who remembers me. When a person is remembering me, I am sitting with him. Just imagine, you are sitting with me and I am sitting with you. If you sit with a nice person, you listen to them, you feel so nice. So imagine if Allah is sitting with you. When you're doing zikr, Allah is with you. In the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي وَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ مِّنْهُمْ. If my slave remembers me in his heart, I remember him in my heart, form of expression. And if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him, I mention him in a gathering better than that gathering. The gathering of the malaika, who are holding onto the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are always busy. الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَاغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. رَبَّنَا وأدخلهم جنات عدن التي وعدتهم ومن صلح من آبائهم وأزواجهم وذرياتهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. وقهم السيئات ومن تق السيئات يومئذ فقد رحمته وذلك هو الفوز العظيم. This is the حاملين عرش, those malaika, كروبيين, معصوم, sinless, always busy in glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions you in front of them. Look at my slaves. They are sitting in a gathering and they are all doing my zikr. They are invoking me. They are mentioning my name. They are glorifying me. They are praising me. And those malaika then make dua for you. So if you are in some tension, and if you're in some problem and you are doing zikr of Allah, then those malaika are doing dua for you, they are remembering you. This is why one hadith says, if a person wants his duas to be accepted at times of at turbulent times, problems in adversity, then he should make lots of duas in good times, in affluency, in prosperity. When you're going through good times, alhamdulillah, just keep making dua. Because then when you go into some trouble and then you make dua, the malaika say, Ya Allah, this voice is familiar. This is regular coming voice. And this person is in some problem. Ya Allah, save him, help him, remove his problem. The same malaika, they make dua for you. And malaika's duas, inshallah, accepted, your problems will be removed. So, what we need, number two, after al-imanul amiq, we need al-ittisalul wasiq. Strong connection with Allah, and this will be through ibadah, through worship, through salat, namaz. Pray your namaz properly. 5 daily namaz, nawafil, tahajjud, ishraq, chasht, awabin, stand in front of Allah, read salatul tasbih. Salatul tasbih will help get rid of all your sins, clean you, purify you, and then your duas will be accepted. Do your namaz properly. We just read Maghrib namaz. After Maghrib, read 6 rakat of wabin. We already pray 2 rakat sunnah. Why can't we add 4 more? The hadith in Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah says, if a person performs 6 rakats after Maghrib, he doesn't speak any evil in between them, then these 6 rakats will be equal to worship of 12 years. So in 6 minutes, you can get ibadat, sawab of worship for how many years? 12 years. Why are we missing out? Bring some shock of ibadat in your heart. Love the worship of Allah. We should fall in love with ibadat and then feel that peace of mind and tranquility. Like that slave who was carrying goods for his master, and azan was called out. So he said to his master, Allah Pak has called out, he is the greater master, I have to go and pray. So his master said, okay. So he put the goods outside, went inside the masjid, and he prayed his namaz. His master sat there with the goods, he didn't go to pray inside. Then after his namaz, everybody is leaving, the slave is still not coming out. So he screams from outside, oh bhai, chalni jaldi karni. And he said, oh, bahar nahi aane de rahe hain. He's not letting me come out. I said, who's not letting you come out? I said, the person who's not letting you come in is not letting me come out. Jo aapko andar nahi aane deta, wo mujhe bahar nahi aane de raha. He's a slave. He's a new Muslim. He's a reefer. But he's fallen in love with Allah's ibadat so much that he can't miss that jamaat namaz. He's going inside and he's finding peace and sukoon and solace in the sujood and in prostration and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why can't we find that peace and sukoon in ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembrance, tasbih, tahmeed, astaghfar, durus sharif, ajib. Someone texted me something on WhatsApp the other day in Arabic. And said, you know, there are only 2 worries for a person. One in this dunya and one in the akhirah. One in this dunya is called hum. Anxiety, fikr of what's going to happen in future. We all have our worries, bills, hydro bill, this bill, that bill, kahan se paise aayenge, job, ye, wo. We all have some, everybody has some hum and fikr and worry. And second worry is of akhirat. And that worry is called zamb. On the day of qiyamah, everybody will be saying, zambi, zambi, zunubi. Oh Allah, I fear my zunub. I am scared of my sins. So we have 2 fikr. Fikr of this dunya is called hum, anxiety, worry. And fikr of the akhirah is called zamb, zunub, sins. Everybody will be fearful of his sins on the day of qiyamah. And the relief from both of these 2, dunyavi fikr and ukhrawi fikr, is in durus sharif. The hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, wherein he asked, Ya Rasulullah, I have a certain time of my wazifa. How much of that should I spend in durus sharif? Salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. 1/4, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you wish, if you increase, better for you. 1/3, if you increase, better for you. Half, it's up to you. If you increase, better for you. He said, I'll spend that whole time of my wazifa in durus sharif. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَن تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَيُغْفَرْ لَكَ زَمْبُكْ. Both are included in there. If you do that, if you busy yourself in Salat ala Nabi ﷺ, your worries and anxieties and fikr will be removed and your sins will be forgiven. The worries of this dunya will go as well and the worries of akhirat will go as well. Nabi Kareem ﷺ once said, last night I saw a dream. I saw this person who was trying to cross the bridge, pul sirat. But his sins were a burden upon him, and he was somehow crawling and dragging along the sirat. And suddenly his durood upon me came and carried him and carried him through to the other part, and he crossed the pul sirat and he was on the other side. His durood sharif, his salat ala nabi, carried him to the other side. So, we need to do some zikr of Allah, of tasbih, tahmeed, astaghfar, tahleel, la ilaha illallah, durus sharif. And this is what will strengthen our bond and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, al-fahmud daqiq. We have to understand, we have to get some realization that, you know, this dunya is temporarily. This dunya is not everything. The life of this world, the life of this world, fixed, that's 50, 60, 70 years. Okay? Life is a thing that turns on wheels. Sometimes happiness, sometimes sadness, sometimes grief, sometimes joy. So, sometimes affluency, prosperity, adversity, ghurbat, faqiri, maskanat, muhtaji. Things come up and down. We have a roller coaster, you know, ride, roller coaster ride. So, this life is of a roller coaster ride, ups and downs. Life is a thing that turns on wheels. Death is a thing that every man feels. Everybody is going to die. If life was a thing that money could buy, the rich would live and the poor would die. Allah in His wisdom has made it so that the rich and the poor together must go. We all have to go from here. So we have to realize that these 50, 60, 70 years life is temporarily. It's not everything. It's part of a sequence. There is a chain of events. First we were in Alam-e Arwah, where Allah created the world of souls. There are plenty of souls still left there which are to come in this world until the day of Qiyamah. We were there as well. From Alam-e Arwah, the world of soul, we came into the mother's wombs. Our mother's wombs. We stayed in there for 9 months. From there, we come into this dunya for 50, 60 years. And from here, we go into our qabr. And we stay in there for a long time. And from there, when we come out, we will go in Maidani Hashar. And we will stay in Maidani Hashar for Allah knows how long, busy in our Hisab Kitab. And then, inshallah, finally, we will end up in Jannat. Say inshallah. May Allah give us all Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah protect us from the azab of Jahannam. So this worldly life is only a temporary, a sequence. And this worldly life is a test for us. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created life and death so that He may test you. Who has the most beautiful of actions? So this world is a test for us. We want to pass that test. If we just sit down and just grieve about our state and get into anxiety and depression and state and this and crying all the time, we're wasting our time. We're not moving forward. This life is valuable. Maulana Ibrahim Sahab was yesterday talking about the value of life. This time which we have, we can make or break our Jannah or in over here. If we utilize this time, we can make our Jannah. And Jannah is not small. Jannah is huge, it's vast. There are huge darajat in Jannah. We want to again attain the best Jannah, the highest Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. For that we have to practice, we have to move on. We can't just sit down and then just grieve over past events that have taken place and fall into depression and tension. No, we have to take control of things. And there, so this is what is called al-fahmud daqiq, intelligence, use your intelligence. If we have these three things, inshallah we can overcome all sadnesses. Al-imanul amiq, al-ittisalul wathiq, and al-fahmud daqiq. Iman strong, make your iman as strong as it can be, and strengthen your bond and your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understand the reality of life. This life is temporarily, don't fall for the glitters of this world. One of the reasons of sadness is, you know, today we live in a technological world. I was talking to my friend Mukhtar. I asked him, kemla bada loko kem bo sad hoy. Mursab, pudu inam upar pudu joya karani pelu hu naam je. Social media. And people posting everything on Instagram, you know, I'm going on a holiday and I'm having some time and wearing these clothes and I'm going here and Umrah and Hajj and this holiday and that holiday and this house and this car. Many of these things are not even true. This is bragging about things. And people read all those posts on, you know, social media and then they feel sad. Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, I can't have this. So this is one of the causes of sadness. Another cause of sadness is, you know, dramas. People watch dramas. And in dramas, they have beautiful house and beautiful luxury and this. And they want to be like them, copycat. They want to be copycats. And when they can't get there, they can't gain it, then they feel sad. Why can't I have it? So why fall into these causes of sadness? Don't watch those dramas. Don't go on those social media and those friends and don't envy them. Don't be jealous of them. Let them have it. If they've got it, okay, they can have it. I am content with what I've got. This is called qana'at. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith yaad aagayi. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَرُزِقَ كَفَافًا وَقَنَّعَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا آتَاهُ. That person is successful who has three things in him. He submits himself wholeheartedly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and who is given rizq just enough. Not too much, not too less, not too much that he becomes extravagant and goes into fuzul kharchi and sins, and not too less that he has to beg someone, but just enough rizq. And Allah gives him qana'at on whatever Allah provides for him. He's got contentment in the heart. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I'm happy with whatever Allah has given me. When you have this qana'at in you, then you are successful. So today, one of the causes of sadness is we don't have this qana'at. We always want more, 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 more. And then people do haram stuff to get more money as well. Gambling, secretly playing national lottery and winning jackpot, not telling anybody. And trying to become, easy money, gain easy money, drugs, falling into drugs, selling drugs, buying drugs. Even some people, opening off-license, selling alcohol, going into maybe gay bars to work over there because you get good money over there. Or maybe working in pubs, ladies working in pubs, selling alcohol, na'uzubillah, to gain money. So this is because we've raised our lifestyle so much that we can't make ends meet. So we have to do all these jobs to bring lots of money in. So we bring haram money in. And that haram is never going to bring you any satisfaction or contentment of the heart. You're going to fall into more haram. And you're always going to be in tension and depression. If you want to get rid of that tension, depression, bring some halal rizq in your house. Hard earned blood and sweat money. And then see how peace of mind, tranquility, contentment comes into your heart. So, to do sabr and be patient and be happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a virtue. We should try and bring that virtue within us and get rid of the sadness from our hearts. May Allah give me the tawfiq to practice upon what we preach. May Allah be pleased with us. May Allah remove all the sadness and the grief from our society. May Allah give us tawakkul, reliance and trust upon Allah. May Allah give us sabr and patience, perseverance. May Allah give us rida, being happy and pleased with whatever Allah decrees and decides for us. And may Allah give us, the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will conclude by mentioning some du'as, some special du'as which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us just to get to remove sadness. He said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazani. وأعوذ بك من العجز والكسل وأعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل وأعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. O Allah, I seek your refuge from anxiety and from grief and sadness, and from becoming disabled and from becoming lazy, and from being a coward and from stinginess, and I seek your refuge from having debt and loan overpowering me. I have so much debt on me that I can't repay it. I seek your refuge from this condition. And I seek your refuge from men overpowering me, from men attacking me, abusing me for reasons, whatever reasons. They are always on top of me and I'm scared of people. So I seek your refuge from this qahrul rijal. Beautiful dua. One hadith says, when a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be overcome with anxiety, you know what his words were? He would just say, La ilaha illallah al-azim al-haleem. La ilaha illallah rabbus samawati wa rabbul ardi wa rabbul arshil kareem. This is dua ul-karb. Dua for anxiety and worries. Just La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah al-azim al-haleem. La ilaha illallah rabbul arshil kareem. La ilaha illallah rabbus samawati wa rabbul ardi wa rabbul arshil kareem. Allah is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. He has everything under His control. What are my problems in front of the Qudrat and the power of Allah? You get these two du'as. And third du'a you all know. Very easy and simple du'a. Du'a of Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam. In the belly of the fish. What did he say when the fish was acting like a submarine and taking him round into the ocean, and he goes right into the depth of the ocean and he hears the fishes and the shrubs at the bottom saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And he knew that nothing but tasbih can save him. So he said, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We saved Yunus alayhi salam, and in the same manner we will save the believers as well. So, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kunto min az-zalimin. Read this dua, repeat it until your worry goes away, until your sadness and your grief goes away. The dua of Karm, dua of Yunus alayhi salam. And then there are special duas as well. I will mention one fourth dua. Time is coming up for azan. Dua which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, it's very powerful for debts as well, loans, repayment of debts. One Sahabi, Hazrat Ali Ghaliban, came, said, Ya Rasulullah, teach me some dua to remove my worries and debts and loans and everything. Or Hazrat Muaz, one of the two, he said, read this dua, Allah will remove your duas. What is the dua? You read with me. Allahumma inni abduka wabnu abdika wabnu أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاؤك أسألك اللهم بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلبي ونور بصري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي وغمي وكربي وذهاب همي وغمي وكربي. Rasulullah said, read this dua. He read it daily for a few days, and his debts were repaid as well, and worries were removed. I'll finish off. My friend Maulana Imran Lunat Sahib in Leicester, he used to stay, you know, very ill. His eyes were always yellow and he was weak. And every few days, weeks, he's in hospital, this appointment, that appointment. He was fed up with the appointment. So his father, Maulana Adam Sahab, Imam of Jami Masjid, Leicester, he said to him, oh, Imran, I dua padha karni roj barabar. And he says, I started reciting this dua frequently throughout the day, as many times as I could. And alhamdulillah, although appointment, bhi badu gyo, and Allah Pak sihat tandurust de di. Because the barakat of the dua. So the dua is very powerful. Silahul mu'min. Hathiyar hai, weapon hai humara. To is weapon ko use karo. Is dua ko yaad kar lo. Padho isko. Allah sari musibatain dur karenge. Allah paak meri bhi sari parishani dur kare. Aapki bhi dur kare. Mera karz bhi ada kara de. Aapka karz bhi ada kara de. Aur hum sab ke jitni bhi worries hai, sadness hai, Allah sab ko khatam kar de. Allah hum sab ko peace, sukoon, itminan wali zindagi nasib kare. Jo bichare depressed hai, Allah unke depression ko khatam kar de. Jo bichare tension mein hai, Allah unka tension khatam kar de. Jinke ghar mein koi mushkil hai, problem hai, pareshani hai, Allah un pareshaniyon ka khatma kar de. Allah humko hamesha ke liye itminan, sukoon, farma bardari wali zindagi nasib kare. Jazakumullah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.